Okay, so guys, we're going to start with Chumash, which I don't expect to spend too long on, because I hope that you know something about Chumash. I hope. Thank you.
Who wrote that again?
But, who wrote that? Yeah, okay, good.
Which one is that?
Good. But here's what I want you to... Okay, I expect that the basic narratives of Chumash you guys know. But, let's start with a bit of an introduction. How many books are there in Tanakh according to the Jewish canon? The Jewish canon.
36.
24. 24. Good. What are they? Let's quickly go through them. What are all 24?
Genesis.
Breishit, Shmot, no. Breishit, Shmot, Vayikra, Bamidbar, Dvarim are the first five.
Yoshua,
Shoftim. Shmuel, no. Shmuel. Shmuel. Malachim. Good. Yishayahu, Yirmiyahu, Yechezkel, Treyasar. Now, Treyasar is a bit cheating. Right, because Treyasar is 12 books, which actually are independent, which why are they put together, according to Chazal? They won't get lost, right? They're small, right? Then you have, what do you have? Then you have Stuben, you have Talin. You're looking at Megillah, so it's fine. Mishle, Eo, good. The five Megillot, yeah. Shira, Shirim, Ruth, Kohelet. Good. I think we said all five, but maybe this one. But you know the five Megillot, yeah. Dirayamim is the end. Good. What else? Daniel and Ezra, which is one book. Ezra Nehemiah, which is one book. Good. And Eov. We said Eov. I think we said Eov. Okay. Good. But here's the question, and the guys who come to my parsha know that this is how you got to start. Is that according to Chazal, right? There are five books of Chumash. Yeah, but what does that mean? What does it mean there are five books? Again, guys in my Chumash who come in Parish in the morning, what does that mean? Yes, meaning this isn't... It is neither true that the Torah is one book, nor is it true that the basic unit is Parsha, or Parshia, or Pasuk for that matter. The most basic unit of Torah, according to Chazal, is Chumash, right? Which means that they each have a theme, right? Otherwise, what divides one from the other? So what I want to do now, and we don't have to spend too much time on it, but I don't know how much you've thought about this, but what are the themes of the books? What make them distinct? Okay? Good. So Breishit. Let's start with Breishit. The guys who come to Parsha in the morning. Breishit. What is the theme of all of Sefer Breishit? Here's the key, right? Chumash, I want you guys to remember, if we're talking about it as units, you have to give me a theme that traces from the beginning to the end. Yaakov.
Beginnings.
No.
And don't give me a, you know.
Vague, one word answer?
Yeah, don't give me a vague answer. Give me a, explain. Yeah, Ariel. Good, Toldot, right? Toldot. Right, we've talked about that. That it's Sefer Yetzirah, it's Sefer Toldot. If you follow the book, it seems like the spinal cord, the Chut HaShidra, that goes through it is the Toldot. How many Toldot are there in Breishit?
A lot.
Guys who in my parish, no, units. Units of Toldot.
Six. Three.
Ten. There are ten. Right? There are ten. What's the first one? Guys in my parish, in my common parish, what's the first one? No. That's what you would think.
The world. The heavens and the
good. Eila Toldot HaShamayim Ba'aretz Bihi Bar'am. Right? Who is Toldot HaShamayim Ba'aretz? Who's the child of heaven and earth?
Man.
Man. Right? That's what it's talking about. Mankind itself is Toldot HaShamayim Ba'aretz Bihi Bar'am. Right? Okay, good. What does it mean? Good. So tell me, in a nutshell, what is the theme? Guys, you might come to Parsha. What is the theme of Sefer Breishit? Right? Now, if we trace Breishit, so it is. Right? Breishit starts with creation, right? Creation, which is Toldot HaShamayim Ba'aretz. Shamayim. Then we have Adam and all his stories. Then we have Noach and his stories. Well, no, Adam. And then Adam and his generations and stories. We have Shase. Then we have Noach. Right? Then we have Shem, right? We have Avram, etc. Yitzchak, Yaakov, Yosef, right? It goes on. Right? Fine. Now, which other toldot do we have? Right? How do you... Esav has two. Right? That's the key. Esav has two. Right? That's one of the weirdest... One of the weirdest prakim in all of Chumash is Breishit Perek Lamed Vav, which is where Esav gets two toldot. He gets more than any Jew. Right? Two separate toldot. He gets more than mankind. Right? He gets two, just for him. Right? It's a bit strange, and much of understanding Breishit hangs on Perek Lamed Vav. Right? Fine. Good, so what's the theme? So the Chur Hashid Ra is the Tola Dopa. What's the theme? What is the theme of Breishit, in a nutshell?
So Rashi in Genesis 1:1 kind of answers what the purpose of the book of Breishit is, which is that it kind of sets up, it's the prequel to the Torah. It introduces the ideas or the establishment for why is it
good. So Rashi thinks that this is the backstory to the Jewish people, but let's try to dig deeper into Rashi. Again, guys who come to that parsha, I talked about this. What did I say? Right? What do we say? We think about it. Yeah.
Well, it's the forming and also the values of the Jewish people and how they got started.
Yes, but it's answering a fundamental question.
Where we came from.
It's even more than that.
You're showing how instead of the whole world being chosen, so to speak, just one off.
Yeah, meaning it's answering the fundamental question, which is, how is it the world starts with all of humanity being chosen, and by the time you get to the end of Breishit, we're at a single family? Right? What happened? Right? How did we get from all of humanity being chosen? How many times is all of humanity chosen?
Twice.
Twice.
I don't know.
Twice. Right? Meaning, if you think about the big picture of Sefer Breishit, first, all of humanity is chosen. How many people are in humanity?
One.
Very good. One. Then two, right? Then a few children. Then that explodes, and it's a disaster and a half. So God destroys the world, recreates it, but he tries again to choose all of humanity. Remember, he wipes out all of humanity, but now all people on earth are the children of the chosen one, of Noah. So God actually tries twice to bring the world to its ultimate telos through all of humanity, but it works out not good at all. Right? What?
So give me a look.
I don't know. Okay? It doesn't work. It doesn't work. So then, what happens? God switches plans. And instead of directly choosing all of mankind, even though that is the eschatological goal, eschatology, the study of the Messianic period, right? That is the goal in the Messianic period, is obviously that all of humanity. And if we get to Yeshayahu, you will see that. We'll see if we get to when we get to Yeshayahu. But fine, you get to Yeshayahu, right? The ultimate goal is that we choose all of humanity. They all come to Yerushalayim, right? But God decides, instead of choosing all of mankind directly, he moves to choosing a family who will in turn create a model nation, which will in turn model godliness to the world, which will eventually educate them. Right? That's a long, long-term goal. Right? Long-term. Right? This is not short. Right? This doesn't even, as I said, this doesn't come up as Ephraim will surely pipe. It's true. Right? This is the goal in the Messianic period. This is the theme of Nevi'im Achronim. Right? This is not the theme so much in anything until then. Right? And if you, so what's the answer? Why does God switch?
There's been repeated failures.
Yeah, I mean, the stories in Breishit. Again, I want you to think of it as a book. What is the point of Breishit? It provides, between each toldot, it explains why.
Problems.
Yeah, why did Adam fail such that we had to go to the next set of toldot? Why was it insufficient to choose all of Noah? Right? Eventually we pick Avram over here, but then you've got to decide, you've got to explain, okay, but why did Avram
not have the same issue as they
are? No, he did!
Yes!
Because Avram has a branch, and we pick
Yitzchak.
Right, he has the same thing, and then Yitzchak is the same problem, we choose Yaakov, and then the latter half of Breishit, right, remember, Yosef gets as many prakim in Tanakh as in the other, he gets 10 prakim, right, 10 prakim, give or take. Right, he gets a huge, I think it's actually 10, but depends how you count, depends on how much you think is part of the Yosef story, right? The latter half of Breishit is asking a different question, which is very related, which is...
How the chosen, what are they going to be like?
Well...
Why is it just...
Oh, have you,
It's the transition from the process of like elimination, where one perfect is chosen
perfect
the beginning, and then we become a nation.
Like did you? The second half of Bracia is explaining, because right. The first half of Bracia is about, Raelitek puts it as, Bechira, right? Chosenness, and everyone who doesn't get chosen is automatically unchosen. Which Perek describes that the most? The one I hinted at before? Bracia Lamed Vav. Right? Where we very extensively explain to you everything that happened to Esav, but Esav is out. Right? We tell you how Esav develops, but develops not as the chosen people. Right? Remember, what is the theme of Perek Lamed Vav and Bracia? Esav's lineage, but what's the key pasuk that bothers everybody? This is all the kings of Esav who became king lifnei Meloch Melech b'Yisrael. Right? Before there could be a king in Israel. Because it's explaining, right? It's not time yet for the Jewish people to be a people. Right? We're first eliminating everybody else and we're writing them out. Right? Perek Lamed Vav tells you, Esav is out, and therefore here's his whole story, and this is all that matters for the rest of history. Right? But by the time you get to the second half of Bracia, as Ephraim notes, is telling you that once you get past Yaakov, it's no longer about Bechira. What is it about?
Bechora.
Right? By Bechora, who gets to be the Bechor? Everyone's chosen. The only question is who leads. Right? And what's the answer, by the way, to that question? Two people. Right? Two people lead. Yehuda and Yosef. Right, Yehuda and Yosef. Right, you divide it. Right, Yehuda and Yosef both get forms of leadership. Yes, but he gets Kahuna, but not in Breishit. Right, not in Breishit. He gets it in. Right, he doesn't get in Breishit. Breishit, he's cursed. Right, right. Arur Apam. Right, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi are cursed at the end, but they're still not unchosen. So, in a nutshell, Sefer Breishit is the story of how do we get from God choosing all of humanity to choosing a family, who gets to be part of that family, and the Torah, and Bracia ends with, what's the end of Bracia?
They go
into
the
death,
the
death of Yaakov and
his blessings.
Yeah, the bracha to the family, the chosen family, meaning the snapshot of the end of Bracia is, we started with all of humanity, and we end with, in one word, a family. Good. That's Bracia, in a nutshell. Shmo. What's Shmo?
The progress power.
What do we do? Shmoot, we pick up where we left off, but this time it's different.
We're seeing where we get our next
Am. If Bracia, good. It's the development of the Am. Right? Remember, we have the same lineage copied from the end of Bracia at the beginning of Shmoot, but the difference is in Bracia it starts with 70, and how does Shmoot start? Paru, yes, but Paru, by Yishritsu, by Yerbu, Bimod Maod, that family became a nation. Right, so Shmot starts off chapter 2. Right, the second volume of the Torah is right. Volume 1 is how do we go from humanity to choosing a family? Chapter 2 or volume 2 is how does that family become a nation? And think about it. Right, so the Ramban notes it's called, according to Chazal, what is the nickname of Shmot? Oh. Sefer Ha
Exodus
HaGeulah. But what is Geulah in Tanakh? It's not Exodus, it's redemption. But what is redemption in Tanakh? Ramban notes this in introduction.
From past day gone, return to a past day.
Good. It's a return to previous glory. So one thing that Shmot is about is how do the Jews return to their glory? Because they were glorious in Bracia. And the beginning of Shmot, they're obviously not. They're slaves. And then they return to glory.
The
end of Bracia, right? Bracia ends with them being the family of the viceroy. Right? So then they become slaves and they have to return. Okay, that's one part of Shmot. But Shmot, more precisely, is the development of the nation. So good, Shmot. Give me a brief outline of Sefer Shmot. The whole Sefer.
Your slaves, we got three.
Whole Sefer, from beginning to end.
I got word?
No, summary. First summary, and then we'll get to theme.
We're in Egypt, we got bigger.
We become slaves. Okay, fine. So, great. Yetziat Mitzrayim. Great. What parsha does that take us to?
Bo,
maybe B'Shalach. Maybe B'Shalach. Okay? Maybe B'Shalach. B'Shalach is great. Yom. So, okay. I'm willing to accept first four parshiot. Then? Yitro's Matan Torah. Then?
Mishpatim
is laws. Then?
Trumat
Tzav is? Is? Kahuna. And then? Yeah, what's Kitisa?
It's the
no. What's the central story of Kitisa? The Egel! The Egel people! The Egel! The fall from glory! Right? And the return, the tshuva. Right? Kitisa is the story of the sin of the Egel, and then the tshuva, followed by Vayakob Kude, which is back to Trumat Tzav, the implementation of the Mishkan. Right? That snapshot of Shemot. Good. What is the theme of Shemot? Now let's push deeper. Yes, it's the formation of a nation. But how does that explain the whole Sefer?
Ups and downs of the nation?
Not really. What's the central theme in Shemot?
Chosenness of the nation.
Chosenness? Even more. Sharpen it. Yes. Right, meaning it's? Yes, basically, in yeshiva. Sure. It's the becoming of a Tayredik nation. Yes. But think about it. Right, think about it. Shemot's theme... Right, Shemot's theme, if you take the different halves, the first half is Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is, according to the Psukim, what's the import of it? What's the end goal? Remember, the end of the Shir Az Yashir. Right? Well, no, that's the end goal. What has happened until this point? We haven't gone to the land, but what has happened? Remember, there are five Lashon of Gula, four happened in Shemot. The last one is? Right, Amzukanita, you've acquired us as a nation. Right, that's the point. Right, and what comes with being chosen as a nation?
Responsibility.
Yeah, give me the pasuk. Give me a pasuk. I want everything proved. That's one. That's a good pasuk. Give me one more. Give me two. One is Vatemti Uli Mamlech Kohanim Goy Kadosh. The other is Anochi Hashem Elokecha Sheroti Ticha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. That the import of Yitzhak Mitzrayim is that now you know Anochi Hashem Elokecha. That's the first half of Shemot. Second half of Shemot. 1 second. So what's the second half of Shemot?
Laying down the...
And remember, you have to keep it one themed. Right? Remember, these are books. How did the second half of Shemot work to that theme? It all hangs on a Ramban, right? Which develops in Midrash.
Oh, yeah. Why did you mention it was there, Ramban?
The Ramban says that the Mishkan, what is the point of the Mishkan, which is 90% of the latter half of Shemot? What's the point?
Solidify the place of
Nehemiah.
Is two? Because
the Egel, yeah. Ludore, do what? No. That's Rashi. What does the Ramban say?
Continue
what? The Mishkan. No, sorry, Har Sinai. It continues Har Sinai. Right? Why? How does he know? How does he know? Because there are three levels of separation between God and the people on Har Sinai, and three levels of separation between the Jews and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And in both cases, where is God's presence found? In what? In a cloud. What either the cloud on Har Sinai, or what type of cloud is in the Mishkan? Ketoret. Me'ala kaporet. Right? I appear above the Ketoret. Right? So Shemot is the story of, yes, how we become the Am Segula, which means how does God reveal Him, take us as His own, reveal Himself to us, explain our responsibilities, and then ensure that He will always have a place among us that will maintain that connection. Right? That is... Now, why is Kitisa important in this story? The Egel?
The Egel, so you know it almost destroyed
it. Because we almost destroyed it, and then we had to rebuild it. Right? That's what Shemot is about. Right? From beginning to end. Is the nature of the Jewish people as the nation of God. How does that happen? What does it look like, and how is it maintained? Right? That's the theme. Right? Good. Shemot then ends in a fascinating way. Right? You have a Chumash or a Tanakh. Look at the last five Psukim of Shemot. Okay? We're not going to, like I said, we're not going to spend so much time on Chumash because I expect you to know it. Wait, 1 second, 1 second. Let me get it. I have to get it. Good. I want you to pay attention for a moment. At the end. Okay? Last five Psukim. Vayichal Moshe et HaMelacha. Vayichas Ehanan et Oel Moed Uchvod Adonai Malei et HaMishkan. Okay? The Anan covers the Olmoed. V'lo yachol Moshe lavo al Olmoed ki shachan alav ha'anan uchvor Adonai malein ha'mishkan. And Moshe could not come into the Mishkan. Good. What should the next pasuk be? What should the next pasuk be? Not what is it. What should it be? And he went into the Mishkan. Thank you, Shua. Right? If you're following the logic, Moshe couldn't get into the Mishkan. The next pasuk should be? And he could go into the Mishkan. Right? But it doesn't. Instead, it picks up with a bizarre, different stream of thought, which is, Uvehalode Anan Me'al Mishkan Yisubine Yisrael B'chol Ma'aseihem. And when the Anan would leave the Mishkan, the Jews would travel. And if it didn't, if the Anan didn't lift, then they wouldn't move. Because the cloud of God is on the Mishkan during the day, and a fire at night, to all the Jewish people, in all their travels, Tam v'nishlam til el borei olam, as they say in the end of here, right? That's the end of Shmot. What's the problem? What's the problem with the end of Shmot?
We have this switch narrative. How the
Yeah, there's two narratives at the end that seem to go nowhere, right? Right, Shmot is this beautiful story, but where the heck is it leading to? And what's the answer?
Vayikra.
Wrong.
Oh man, Bamidbar.
Wrong. No.
Yoshua.
No. It's leading to both. Shmot is a double-pronged end, right? The first two of those psukim, right? Shua, remember, what's supposed to happen? Moshe can't talk to God. So the next pasuk should have been what?
Talk to God.
Good, what pasuk is that?
First,
the first pasuk of Vayikra. That's the first pasuk of Vayikra. Right? Vayikra Moshe, Vayidaber Ne'elo Me'ol Mo'ed Le'mor, Daber Le'Zovah Mar'el Le'yem. What?
I was wrong, I was the only one. What do you mean the next pasuk should have been a Moshe talk to God?
Think about it. Right?
No.
The pasuk Lamidbav makes no sense. Right? You're in the middle of a narrative. Right? Moshe couldn't come to Ol Mo'ed because the Anan is there. The next pasuk should be either Moshe never went into the Mishkan, or sometimes he did go into the Mishkan, but it picks up a different narrative. Right? The Anan functions in two ways here. Right?
Oh, that's me. Okay.
Right? Think about it. It's two weird narratives mixed. The cloud is on the Mishkan and is preventing Moshe from entering. By the way, that same cloud
will be there at the
would travel and would lead the Jews. Yeah. Good. Now think for just a moment. Right? The next pasuk of the first two psukim there, namely, the Anan was there, Moshe couldn't go into the Mo'el Mo'ed, should continue with what? Vayikra pasuk Aleph, which is, and then God invited him in. Right? And the next three psukim, and when the Mishka, and when the Anan traveled, the Jews would follow it. What? Where exactly is that narrative picked up on?
Right in Bamidbar.
The beginning of Bamidbar. Right? That's the beginning of Bamidbar. Right? Because Shmot has two prongs to it. Right? It ends going to Vayikra and going to Bamidbar. Good. Now let's move to those books. So good. That means that there are two manifestations of us being the nation of God. One is the Vayikra-esque one. What is Vayikra about? What is Vayikra's nickname in Chazal? Tor Kohanim. Good. Why? Be careful. There's a lot of dinim for Kohanim. When does that fall apart? That's great if you look at Vayikra, Sav, Shmini. Good. Achremot, Kedoshim, it collapses. Because what's Achremot about? Arayot. What's Kedoshim about?
Everything.
Vahaftorecha kamocha, right? It's about Lashon Hara, right? What's Bahar v'chukotai about? Shmita, Yovel, right? The Tochecha, right? Good. Try to give me a theme for all of Vayikra, not just the first half. Explain to me why Torah Kohanim is the right summary of the whole Sefer.
It shows how the Am is supposed to be an Am of Kohanim.
Good. Give me a Pasuk. Perfect. Reb David Tzvi Hoffman. Thank you. Reb David Tzvi Hoffman says the entire key to Vayikra lies in one Pasuk, which is that there are two Kohanim in Torah. The people we call Kohanim, like Mati, right? Right? Without whom we have no one to bless us in the morning. Right?
That was very
And then there's the secondary level of Kohanim, which is, sorry, Mati, right? And the secondary level of Kohanim is who?
Everyone.
Good. So Rav David Zmiyavin says, you know what the theme of Vayikra is? The first half of Vayikra is the story of the Jews where? Of the Kohanim. Because, really, Vayikra is Sefer HaKdusha. It's what does it mean for the Jews to be a holy nation? But that means two things. One is obviously what happens in the Mishkan. But it resonates outwards. Because it's not supposed to end there. The fact that we have God at our center and Kedusha there manifests itself amongst the real Kohanim, the Matis, right? Whoa. But it's also supposed... What?
Well, these are real Kohanim.
That's not a jealousy fact.
I've never seen everything.
Yes, like the priests. Like our priests.
No.
But
the joke is that he's an Ashkenaz coin, so he's like probably not actually
a coin. Okay. Right. I really don't care if you're invoking a chuv of the Marish Dime. It doesn't I just don't care. Fine. Yes, you know you knew that chuv of the Marish Dime that you were invoking. I'm so happy for you. Yeah, good, exactly. Marashdam is a very important Turkish posek who claimed that Kohanim is Manazer, only Kohanim Chazaka, and there's certain kulot because of that. Doesn't matter. Where David Zviavin says the theme of Vayikra is how does that nation become Kadosh? Primarily, yes, in the Mishkan, but the second half of Vayikra reminds you that the Kedusha doesn't end in the Mishkan. The Kedusha and the Mishkan inspires us and then resonates out, and the Kohanim teach us how to in turn be the Kohanim to the world. Right? How do you know that? How do you know that's the theme of the second half of Vayikra? Because the beginning of Kedoshim is Kedoshim to you.
Right?
Right? Meaning it's Sefer HaKedusha. If us being Kohanim is Atem Tiyuli Mamlechet Kohanim Vigoy Kadosh, and then you have a Parsha that tells us what does it mean to be Kadosh, then that means Vayikra is telling us not just how the Kohanim act, but how the our Kohanim and the existence of the Mishkan inspires us to be Kohanim. Again, what that means, you have to learn Vayikra to get to, but that's the basic theme of the book. What's Bamidbar?
Traps.
What?
Traps.
Yeah, or in other words, remember the end of Shemot, it's how God is with us. Vayikra is how God is with us in the realm of Kedusha. In Bamidbar, it's how God is with us. Yeah, in Yom Yom, in our travels. Right? Right in the mundane. Right? Now, Bamidbar is a little bit more than that because there are really three sections to Bamidbar. Right? What are the three sections to Bamidbar?
The work in the Mishkan.
Oh, come on.
The Menorah.
Before Vayhi ben Soa. Vayhi ben Soa. And after Vayhi ben Soa. Right? Right? Chazal are pretty clear about this. Right? Okay. Vayhi ben Soa. Right? You get two nuns like this, backwards. Right? You have two psuk in the middle. And Chazal say that this is a book of the Torah. So really, Bamidbar, according to Chazal, is sort of one and sort of three books of Tanakh. What? Why? Again, I have to prove this. It would take a while to prove, but let me give you the hint. Right? The first third of Bamidbar, what is it about?
The countings and the boring stuff.
Okay, let's put it differently. For the first 10 or so prakim of Bamidbar, how long was Bamidbar supposed to last?
Not that long.
Yeah. How 11 days? Thank you. Beginning of Dvarim. Right. Acharas Yom Mecharev. Right. 11 day. It's an 11 day journey. The first 10 prakim or so. Right. Meaning before what? The Meraglim. Even though it starts to unravel a little bit before the Meraglim. Right. Is what the Torah was supposed to look like. Meaning, what would it have looked like if the Jews hadn't messed up? So the first 10 brachim are the Jews on their way to Israel, short version. What is Vayhi ben Soa Aharon?
That mess up.
No. It's the idyllic version of what that would have looked like if they hadn't messed up, right? The first 10 brachim are the Jews on their way to Israel. Then you get two psukim describing what that would have looked like if they hadn't messed up. Right? That God would have said, Moshe would have said, get rid of our enemies, and God would have gotten rid of our enemies. Right? That could have been it. If we hadn't messed up. But then we did mess up. Now, this is something that people forget in Bamidbar. How many years? I'll ask two questions. How many years does Bamidbar take? And how many years are described in detail in Bamidbar?
Described 40 years.
It took 38 and plus years, but fine, about 40. And how many years are described?
Like two.
Two. Yeah. The first and the last. Or the second and the last, really. Right? Meaning, we know nothing about anything in the middle. So what is really Bamidbar? Bamidbar is God with us in our travels, but in another way of looking at Bamidbar is? It's the story of how we got to Israel in three stages. What happened before we messed up? The ideal of it could have happened had we not messed up. And then we had to start again because we did mess up. So then we have to tell the second half of Bamidbar, which is what it ended up looking like. Right? So now we've got Breishit is how do we get from all of humanity to a family? Shmot is how does that family transform into the nation of God and what does that mean? Vayikra is how does that nation manifest its Kedusha within and then within the confines of the Mishkan, and how does that those lessons emanate out? Bamidbar is how does God with us in our travels and how does this nation reach Israel? Right? In three stages. Before we messed up, what it would have looked like had we not messed up, and then what it looked like since we did mess up. Right? And then what's Dvarim?
Recap. Recap everything.
No, that is totally wrong. Right? It's not a recap at all. What is Dvarim? What?
A reinterpretation.
How many speeches?
Many.
Several.
Two.
Four. Four speeches. There are four speeches in Dvarim. There are four speeches. How long are they? Very long. What? No. Long. Prakim. How long are they? What's the longest speech? How long is the longest speech in Dvarim?
Not the first one.
21 Prakim. No. Perek Hay to Pasuk. Right? Perek Hay starts a 21 Perek speech. Right? A single 21 Perek speech. Right? This is a very long chair. Exactly. Right? That's that one. Except, you know, fine. Good. What is Dvarim?
Moshe's, good,
but more than that, what does he include? In a nutshell, what is Dvarim?
Musar.
What type of Musar? Good. Right? In a nutshell, all of Dvarim is preparing the Jews for being in Eretz Yisrael. Right? Now, if you think about the speeches, though, what do the Jews need to know to go into Eretz Yisrael? What's the first speech?
About all the things they did in the past.
Yeah, it's history. Right, the first speech is history. How did we get to where we are? Right, the main speech in the middle is laws. Right, and they're specifically Israel laws. I mean, not Israel, they're nationhood laws. Shoftim, war. Right? What? Right? And then what's the end? The end is... What's the end? Right? What is the end? What is the coda to the Torah? Right? Where does the Torah really end? Before Hazino. Hazino is the coda. Right, think about it. Right? This Shira will remind the Jews to keep the rest of the Torah. Right? Means the coda to the Torah. Right? The Hazino, and then Moshe dies. Right? Brachot, fine. But in a nutshell, Dvarim is the preparation to go into Eretz Yisrael. Now, Mishnah Torah. What is Mishnah Torah? Why do we say it's a recap? So the simplest understanding is that 21 prakim in the middle had been said many times. Why had it been said many times?
Because all the laws were already stated.
No, because the Jews thought they were going into Israel 40 years before. And therefore they went through this, and then they died out because they sinned, so he had to repeat it. But that speech was probably given by Moshe. Remember, they thought they had 11 days. So if there's a bunch of laws you got to know before you go into Eretz Yisrael, they probably learned it at the beginning. But the Torah doesn't tell it to us then because that's not how it works out in the end. Right? But now, as we're about to go into Eretz Yisrael, we got to hear it again. Right? Now, the end of Dvarim is beautiful, right? Because the last thing is an almost inscrutable moment. Hazinu is really quite strange because the sefer ends with after everything, you think it's over, right? Before Hazinu, and what does God do? He really messes with Moshe's head. It's really not fair, right? Moshe has had a really, really successful career, as careers go, for 40 years. And what does Hashem tell him at the end?
You can't go.
No, that's much earlier. What does he tell him at the end? Just know that as soon as you die, this is all going to hell, right? Just know they're all going to worship idols. It's all over, right? That's the end. That's what he hears on his deathbed, right? It is all your work is for naught. Just know that. I just want you to know that. Just to calm you before you die, right? Right? So Hazinu, to be more precise, is what? Right? We have to be fair. It's not really God saying it's all going to go bad. What is he saying? All could go bad, and what's the only way it's not going to be?
To keep the laws.
But what is Moshe left to do?
The only way you'll keep the laws
is through Hazinu, and what is Hazinu? What is Hazinu? Here, okay, guys, let's spend a few moments on Hazinu just to understand how the Torah ends, and then we'll move on to Yoshua. How does the Torah end? Right, the Torah ends as follows. I just want you to understand how intense this is. Right? No, that's the end. That's the coda of the coda. Right? Hazinu is already a coda. Now you're jumping to the coda of the coda. Come on. Right before Hazinu. Right? How do I know the Torah is over, by the way? How do I know this is a coda? Right? I know this is like chutzpah.
Right at the beginning
of the... No, because the Torah says so. Perek, Lamed, Aleph, Pasuk. Come on. You guys all say you know Chumash. Perek, Lamed, Aleph, Pasuk. You're right. No one says that except for Ephraim, who's not here at the moment. Fine. Perek, Lamed, Aleph, Pasuk, Chav, Dalid. The end of Vayelech. Vayhi, Kichalot, Moshe, Lichtov, Divrei, Torah, Azor, Al-Sefer, Al-Tumam. When Moshe had written the whole Torah till the end. That means the Torah is over. Right? The rest is a coda. This is not a drash. This is a pasuk. Guys, come on. Right? How much is it done? He says, Vayitzav Moshe al-Leviim, Nosei Aron Brit Adonai Lemor. He tells the Leviim who carry the Aron, Lekoach et Sefer HaTorah Hazeh V'samtem Oto Mitzad Aron Brit Adonai Leichem V'yasham Bechalei. He takes the Torah. The fact that I'm picking up the Mishnah Torah.
Amazing.
Yeah, amazing, right? Yeah. He takes the Rambam, yeah, no. He takes the Torah and he says, take it, put it in the Aron. Meaning it's done. Moshe thinks it's over. Right. Like, again, this is just pshat. This is just pshat. He says, says, look, I know how rebellious you are. I know how rebellious you are, and you're probably going to rebel after I die too. So let me testify and make right the whole world right them know what they have to do. Let me make the heaven and earth testify against them. Now, why is he doing that? Because, now go backwards for a little bit, go back to Pasuk Tet Zayin, and this is what I mentioned before. Because, Vayomer Adonai Moshe, Inchasho Chevim Avotecha, Vikama Ama Zev Zunach Arei Elohei Nechar Aretz, Asher Vashama Bikrobo Vazavani Veferit Priti Asher Karati Imehu. Because Hashem had just told him that as soon as you die, it's over. They are going, and they are going to make fair your brit. Right? My brit, rather. Right? They're going to get rid of the brit. On that day, I'm going to hide my face from them. They're going to be punished. And they're going to say, this is happening because God hid his face from me. That's what's going to happen. Now, I jumped back to Lamed Aleph. Now I'm in Yud Chet. Okay, Lamed Aleph Yud Chet, in the end of Vayelech. Now, at this moment, and I want you to understand how the Torah ends, then we'll move to Yoshua. Hashem tells Moshe, the end of days, the guys are going to do what?
Sin.
They're going to sin, and then they're going to wake up and they're going to realize that bad things are happening. Why?
They're sinning.
Be careful, Ellie.
No, not because they're sinning.
That's what you think.
Bad things are happening.
Because God left them. Right? Now, Ellie jumps to that and says, oh, that's tshuva. right? Except what should happen if they did tshuva? What should the next pasuk be? Good, what's the next pasuk? I will hide my face even more. Wait a second. Wait. What? They're going to do tshuva, and then I'll can hide myself, my face even more intensely? No, what's the problem? Ellie, reread the pasuk.
Because they weren't saying they were going to do tshuva. It says that they're not doing anything wrong. God's going to do
it. Exactly, right? They're going to realize that God left them, but they're not going to realize why.
Right.
They're going to blame God. They're going to realize God left, but they're going to think it's because God left them, God abandoned them, not because they did something wrong. And so that's adding insult to injury. They realize that they're being punished, but they think it's unwarranted. So God says, Oyvei, now I got to punish you even worse. Right? Because now you have the chutzpah not only to sin, not only to leave me, but to think it's my fault. Right? And that's going to be disastrous. And think about it. Remember, Sefer Dvarim is Moshe preparing them to go into Eretz Yisrael. If they reach that point, what's going to happen? They're going to be kicked out. Right? That will be the end. Right? If not only do they sin, but then they fail to take responsibility and they blame it on God, the only answer can be galut. Right? Which is what we find out in?
Foreshadowing.
What?
I said foreshadowing.
Yeah. It's the end of Malachim, the end of Divrei Yomim, Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu, Yechezkel, right? The 12 Nevi'im out of the last 15 who are all prophets in the period of Malachim, right? This is not theoretical. This happens. A good part of Tanakh is dedicated to this, right? To this point. And then continue, he says, Va'ata, so God says, but there's a solution. One second, Charlie. There's a solution. How are you going to prevent this disaster as they go into Eretz Israel? One word. Hazinu. That's the next pasuk. Vata. I'm not making anything up. I'm just reading with you. Vata kitfu lachem and ashira hazot vilimdad bnei Israel sima b'fahem limanti eli ashira hazot leid bnei Israel. And the solution is teach them hazinu. And then how do I know that this is the climax to a sefer whose theme is preparing the Jews to go into Eretz Israel? By this point, you should realize I'm just reading the psukim. The next pasuk, ki avienu el hadama asher nishpati lavotav zavat chalav udvash v'chal v'sava v'dashenu fanal v'macherim v'adum v'ni atzuni v'feret priti. Because I'm about to bring them into the land and they're going to worship idolatry. V'ayaki timten oto ra'ot rabot v'tzaron v'adashi ra'azol l'fanav le'eki lo tishachach v'pizaro ki adati yitzro sh'ose ayom b'term avienu el aretz asher nishpati. So I'm giving them this song as a last ditch effort to make sure that they don't sin when they get into Israel. Right? Again, Dvarim is the last chapter in the Torah. It's preparing the Jews to go to Israel. But God knows that He can give them as much laws as He wants in that 21 peric monstrosity of a speech. Right? I mean, it's beautiful, but it's quite long. Right? In the middle of Dvarim. But He knows they're going to mess up. But the last thing He wants is that when they mess up and they get punished, they blame it on God and not themselves, because that will spell
disaster.
That will spell galut. So He gives them hazinu, and hazinu is the coda to Dvarim, which is God trying to get them to realize that they will make mistakes, but what are they supposed to do when they make mistakes?
Realize
it's their fault. How does hazinu do that, by the way?
The song, right?
Yes, but how does it do it? Have you ever read hazinu? Do you know how it does it?
It says you're going to get fat.
No, look at Hazinu for a minute. But now skip to Hazinu. Hazinu Hashamayim v'adabera v'tishma haaretz imreifi. Right, listen up, heaven and earth, and all of you who have not paid attention to Hazinu, now pay attention. Okay, Yarov kamatar lichi tizal katal imreti kesirim ali desh kirim ali esef. Good, my discourse should come down as the rain and the dew. Right, right. It should penetrate your hearts and your brains or whatever. And now he gets the crux. How are you going to remember when you're being punished that it's punishment and not God abandoning you for no reason so that you will take responsibility? Think about the basic themes. Fourth pasuk already. Hatsur, tamim, pa'alo, kichol, drachav, mishpat. Because remember, God is just. El emunav ein avel tzadik v'yasharu. Right? You can't blame things on God because he's just. Shichet lo, lo vanav mumam, dori keshuv taltol. Right? It's the children who are unworthy. Right? This is the last message that God, that he has to leave them in Dvarim, which is, if it seems like God left you, it's not because he left you for no good reason. It's because you messed up. Pasuk Vav, Halodonai Tikmelozot. Am Naval Velochacham, Alovicha Kanecho, Zavichanecho. You're doing this to God? He's your father. He loves you. He doesn't want to abandon you. This isn't vindictive. It's because you did something wrong. And if you don't believe me, then what should you do? Zimbuchor Yemoto, Lam Binush No Darvador. Look at history. Right? This is a fitting end to the last book of the Torah, right? It's, if you don't believe me that God only punishes you when you deserve it, then look at history. And suddenly, where we find ourselves? Brace it again. Right? Come full circle. How far do you have to go back? To the beginning. When God divided up the nations of the world, Yatzev Gulota Mim Limis Rabin Israel Ki Chelek Adonai Yamo Yaakov Chevel Nachlato. Now we've just shifted from Breishit to Shemot. He divided up the world, and what did he do?
Give Israel's portion.
And
Ki
Chelek Hashem Amo. He took his nation to be his portion. Right? Meaning, you see how now we are at the end of the Torah. He says, if you don't believe me as you're going there to Israel, that God cares about you, and therefore if bad things are happening, it's because you deserve it, go to history. Remember, God is just. He divided up the world and took you as his unique nation. And then we move to Bamidbar, Vayikra Bamidbar, Yibseyu Beretz Midbar, Vavatol Yelel Yishimon. Right? Hazino is a very beautiful speech, if you bother reading it, right? He's just telling you, look back at your history, right? The snapshot we've just done in 45 minutes, right? Go back and you'll realize God cares about you. He took you from the whole world, right? We went through Breishit where there was the whole world. He chose you. He led you through the Midbar. Breishit Shmot Bamidbar. And now you're here, right? Kenesher Yerikino goes to love Yerachef. And now we get, right, the image of the bird, which is, by the way, the image that appears in three places. Where does it appear?
Here.
Here. Where? Kinesher Yerkino, he's like an eagle. Well, really a griffin vulture. Griffin vulture. Okay, technically.
It's on the four faces.
What?
It's on the four faces.
Where? Three psukim. This is mentioned three times.
On the Dalit Panim.
Come on, three psukim. Breishit Aleph. The first parak, in the Torah, God is described as a bird. Did you ever notice that?
No,
because it doesn't say he's described as a bird, but it describes him hovering. Merachef, the same word, right? The Torah starts with God being merachef, meaning the image of God hovering like a bird starts the Torah and it ends the Torah. Where does it happen in the middle? Yes, thank you. Last week's parsha, when he says that God took you. Yes, Kinesher Yerkino. Yes, it happens three times, right? It's not accidental. It happens at the beginning of the world. It happens at Matan Torah, and it has in the final speech that he's leaving as he's telling them what to remember. This is not like an accident. The Torah, as I said, right? I said, I assume you all basically know Chumash, but what I'm trying to get you to realize in, you know, this 50 minutes or so we've spent on Chumash is that there are five books that have themes and they hang together as distinct themes that at the end come together. Right? This is not, it's neither Parshiot nor is it one big book. It is five volumes, each with an independent theme that come together in the coda. Right? Which is Ha'azinu. Where God says, if you want to believe that God cares about you and therefore take responsibility for your actions, you go into Eretz Yisrael, look back at history in the first four volumes of the Torah, and that will help you in Eretz Yisrael actually take responsibility. So, then the Torah ends. Moshe dies, right? And there is no Navi like Moshe, which means that the Torah has to end because we've got to move on to less holy books, right? And that's the end of the Torah. So to summarize, right, the first point you have to remember if you want to go through Tanakh, is the first five books of Tanakh are in fact five distinct books that tell a story. The story of chapter one. How does God go from choosing all of the world to choosing a family? Chapter 2, how does that nation, that family become the nation of God? Chapter 3, how do they learn Kedusha in the confines of the Mishkan end as it emanates out? And 4, how does that manifest itself as in the Jews' travels? And why is it that the Jew, it took, right, what could have happened and what actually did happen? How did they get to Eretz Yisrael? And chapter 5 is, here are the laws that you need to know as you go into Eretz Yisrael. And then the coda is when you mess up inevitably in Eretz Yisrael, if you don't want that to end in Galut, if you don't want that to end in Haster Astir, then don't blame God. Look back at chapter 1, 2, 3, and 4. Remember history, that God is fair and God cares about you, and therefore if He left you, it's because
you messed up
and take responsibility. Because if you don't, and you blame it on God, then you're going to get Galut. Right? So the coda summarizes the first four books in a way that it speaks to the theme of book 5. And that brings us to the end of the Torah. Okay? Good? Questions? Then we'll move on to the next book. Right? Yeah.
I'm just curious, since we made Hazinu such a conclusion, what's the perk of the bracha?
It's not a perk. Moshe dies. He gives bracha. It's the coda of the coda.
Meaning having it written in
the Torah ends in Vayelech, sort of.
It's an epilogue, basically.
Yeah, meaning that, the Torah says that, right? Moshe thought the Torah ended in Vayelech. Then God said, no, put in Hazinu. And then after Vayelech, which is when the Torah should have ended, and Hazinu, which is when God told him to end the Torah, you get Vizos HaBracha, which is after the Coda, Moshe dies, and we have to hear about his death. Right? But that's the end. Okay? Good. Charlie, you had a question?
Yeah, I just kind of wanted to... Could you expand a little bit on and you should try to leave this for later this year, if you think that it'll be a better question later.
Yeah.
But, What do you think, what you say is the Chumash's approach to mistakes, people making mistakes and dealing with those mistakes as Jewish people or as God's people or as people of this book?
It's a bit complicated, right? And the Torah gives different answers at different stages of relationships. To fully get the picture, yeah, it requires a full shiur on what the way God describes it in the two different Tochachas, B'chukosai, and then the one at the end of the Torah.
Right?
The answer is different in different places because how bad the relationship has gotten is different. Right? So there are different answers, but it depends on how bad the relationship has gotten. Okay? That's...
Yeah, so but I'm asking more sort of as a continuation of your sort of little literary summary of these five books, is that at the end it becomes kind of very about... You are sort of segueing into not... becomes very about, like you said very pointedly, that Moshe's basically going to die and things are going to get screwed up real quick. And
we'll see that in about 20 minutes.
In fact, in Hazinu and pretty much the last two books, Vayikra and Devarim, you're already seeing that things are screwing up pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So in terms of sort of identifying a literary sort of evolution or development of this idea, along the same lines of what you've been doing, do you see any kind of idea developed that sort of, as we're sort of heading into...
It's not one idea, right? Meaning it's a good point, but I think the answer is that's really a lot of what Tanakh is doing, right? Meaning, Nevi'im Achronim, right? Meaning the oracular Nevi'im, right?
What does that mean?
Meaning...
Of oracular status.
Right, meaning... Not the historical Nevi'im Achronim, right? Not the difference between Nevi'im Rishon and Nevi'im Achronim historically, but the ones we've divided, meaning between the narrative, primarily narrative Nevi'im, which is the first four books, right? But I mean the latter half, which is speeches of Tochacha, right? Yeshayahu, Yirmiyah, Yechezkel, right? Hosea, Yoel, Amos, right? Treasar, right? All of them are trying to get at this question, which is, how do we get people to change? Right, and it doesn't go very well. Right, Tanakh is a very depressing 24 books. Right, there are very few of them that are really happy. We're gonna get one next. Yeshua's happy, but that's about it. Right,
Rabbi, that's kind of like my question: is that you already see these five books full of screw ups?
Yep.
What's the idea there?
That's not an answer you can give al regal achaz. Hopefully we'll touch on it in a few books. We'll see how many we get to. Okay. But, okay. I'm going to try to somewhat answer. So I'm going to try. I have in mind to try that in three books. Okay? In three books from now. Okay? Good. Okay.